Hey, everybody. I'm Larry Jacobs. It's February 8th, 2018. It's hard to say, February 8th, 2018. And we have a really fun show today. This gentleman got in touch with me via LinkedIn. I'm so glad he did. All right. It's Darren Carney, who's the principal of, let me read this perfectly, the Buena Vista Concordia International School, BCIS, Buena Vista Concordia International School in Shenzhen, China, which he told me is right across from Hong Kong. Okay. And they have students from all over the world, five continents currently represented. He's here in the States recruiting teachers, students, and just spreading the word about his wonderful school. So it's Darren Carney, and we're going to archive the show at education-talkradio.org. We'll put a new schedule up on the website on Saturday, just like we always do. And follow us on follow us on Twitter at EduTalk Radio and friend us on Facebook if you wish to at EduTalk Radio. Okay, without further ado, let me bring on Principal Darren Carney. Darren, welcome. Nice to talk to you again.
Good afternoon, Larry. Good to talk to you as well. I was in the Midwest last time I spoke to you, I think.
And today, New York?
I am in New York. I am in Concordia, New York, in Bronxville, up by White Plains. We've been staying in the city, but traveled north today, and I'll be presenting to a group of students here at Concordia College in New York here in a little bit.
And actually, well, let's start right there. Your school is Buena Vista Concordia International School. Now you're at Concordia. Talk to me about the Concordias. What does one have to do with the other?
Absolutely. Concordia is kind of a conglomerate, if you will, or a connection around the world. There's over 2,600 schools, Concordia, that are connected. And it's really based out of Lutheran Synod. And there are colleges throughout the United States. But like I said, obviously, with 2,600, they're around the world. And there's, I believe, four in China, actually four or five in particular in China. Shanghai is the biggest. And then we are a small school right across from Hong Kong, like you said. And so we're growing quickly. But I've gone to Concordia, Nebraska, which is right outside Lincoln. Like I said, I'm in White Plains right now. And then tomorrow we're getting on a plane and going to San Francisco, and I will be going to Concordia Irvine on Monday, I think it is.
Okay, San Francisco, then you're going to Irvine. That's far. One's far from the other, Irvine.
We're going to go down to San Diego because there's a couple of high schools there as well, Orange Lutheran, and a few down there we're going to hit after we hit a couple high schools in San Francisco as well. So it's a connection. It's all the way around the world. Yeah, it's pretty neat.
That is pretty neat. So tell me how you got started in this. And we're going to talk about what you're doing here with teacher recruitment and student recruitment and all that sort of thing. But you talk about your experiences here in the U.S., okay? And then how you wound up in China. This is cool.
Absolutely. Really a little bit by accident. Isn't that kind of the way things happen, I think, sometimes?
As always.
That's right. And fate plays in it, kind of like you and I connecting. Just things happen. So I think my wife and I was a principal in Cherry Creek School District in Colorado in Jefferson County School District right outside Denver since 1990. And we got to a point where we raised our three boys, and I had some friends try the international route, and I was a principal of four-track schools. I had the opportunity to build a school, Pine Ridge Elementary, which is an outstanding school in Cherry Creek. And we got to the point where some friends said, you should try the international thing. Your kids are out of the house, and, you know, you're young enough to do it still. And so I applied for some international schools and connected with Dr. Alan Young, who is in Hong Kong. And he started talking to me, actually Super Bowl, which congratulations on your Eagles. My son's a huge Eagles fan. I don't know how he's an Eagles fan out of Denver, but he is. And so
he's welcome anytime.
Okay, I'll let him know. Well, he wore his Connor Wentz jersey, so he's excited and he's happy back in Denver right now. But anyway, cool. So Super Bowl Sunday a year ago. It was when I got hired for BCIS, and so I took the spring and ended up there end of May-ish and took over the reins from a principal there, worked all summer to get it going, and this is my first complete year there. So kind of tying all that together, my wife is teaching – thank you. My wife is teaching middle school language arts within our school. We go K through 8, and she's doing a great job there working with students as well.
Are they off now or – Or are you just here on a visit while school's in session?
Well, I hit it just right. We came back, obviously, from the winter break, and then Chinese New Year is actually, we had a big celebration yesterday at the school and saw pictures online and everything else of our school doing Chinese New Year. So they will be off for the next 2 weeks celebrating that, actually. So
Wow.
The timing hit perfectly, yeah.
Kind of like Christmas vacation, I guess, over here, kind of that kind of
thing.
It is.
Well, we did Christmas vacation and then Chinese New Year back to back, so it's a pretty good deal, actually.
Sounds like fun to me.
Yeah, that's right.
Darren, Shenzhen, if I say Shenzhen to most people, including myself before we talked, they would have never heard of it. Okay,
correct.
If I may be so bold as to say that.
Yep.
But what's the I think I know this. Well, I think you put it here somewhere. What's the population of the city?
17 million people, and it's a fascinating story. They're in the top, I believe, if I'm not mistaken, in the top like 15, 20 largest cities in the world that you've never heard of, certainly.
Yeah.
But at least in the States. Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's fascinating.
Go ahead. Please.
Well, I was going to say it's fascinating because the town itself, Dr. Young has been in Hong Kong since 1948. He went there as a child and from China during the upheaval and all that. So he's watched all of this. Anyway, the story he tells me of Shenzhen is that it was a fishing village 30 years ago, and about 200,000 people live there. So in 30 years now,
that's big in and of itself for a fishing village. But you have to get used to these numbers when you're talking about China. Go ahead.
Right. That's right. That's right.
Yeah.
And anyway, so within 30 years has exploded to the 17 million. And a lot of it is because of the manufacturing and things that they can do at a much lower price. But they have the harbors and everything right there that they can ship very easily and very quickly. And so a lot of American companies, which go back to the school part even, not just American, international companies are going there because they can get things manufactured pretty inexpensive and get things shipped out pretty quickly. And so that now is becoming a valley where computers and technology and things are being created. And so hence 17 million people are living there from all over the world.
Unbelievable. And I can only imagine the growth and the growing pains, et cetera. Let me ask you, I know you're here talking for students and all that, but is it easy to recruit teachers into and you're welcome to do a plug for the school if you need some people, but is it easy to recruit teachers? And I guess you can recruit them from all over the world, okay, into a school like yours in Shenzhen. What's the recruiting of educators like?
Absolutely. It's, you know, first it starts with somebody that's interested in doing international education. And you know, that the fork in the road is right there. Some are and some aren't. So you start there. And one of the job fairs I went to, actually, it's the third largest in the United States at the University of Northern Iowa. Last week, I guess it was. And what the sole purpose of that, there's two fairs they have. One is a United States fair and one is an international fair. And
this is for teacher jobs. This is for teachers,
administrators, yes, education jobs.
Cool.
And so I went to that one. The next one is right now in New York City, which is part of the reason I ended up here. Then the third one is San Francisco. So they're all kind of back to back to back. And
are they Concordia or are they some other organization?
They're through International Schools Association, and so anybody can go there. So I've met people from Africa, from Australia, from you name it. And it's just fascinating getting to know people. But back to your question of they're there for that purpose. They know it's international. So then you go forward and you talk about, okay, now what parts of the world do you want to live in? And really, I just talked to them about our school. I have videos. I mean, you're kind of selling the school to folks as they come to you. As I did that, I ended up interviewing probably nearly 100 people. In my travels already, that they're really interested in the story and what the school looks like and what it represents. And I've already we're trying to build a pool of teachers. Our school's only about 5 years old, so we're still growing. And I'm trying to build a pool of teachers interested, even if they don't come with us, they're interested in international education,
right,
saying, you know what, maybe in a couple years. And so we're building that pool much like you would do in the States that they haven't had before. And so as I'm talking to them, quite a few of them are brand new teachers, and so they're just getting their life started, and they want to see the world a little bit, and they can teach and make some money at the same
cool.
time, and they're interested in that.
Certified, right?
Yep. And another group, it was interesting, a couple, they're in Honduras right now doing international education, and they signed up for the job fair in Iowa and were interested in teaching in China. And so I ended up, when I was in Iowa, Skyping with Honduras, talking about China, and I actually landed them. So they're going to teach in China next year for us.
Wow, congratulations. It's funny you would mention that. I can't remember exactly, but in May I'm going to be doing a show. I can't remember who it's with. And the woman who's going to be on, is it the computer science? I'm not sure. But at any rate, the woman who's going to be on the show is Honduran. Okay, of all things, just it's rarely mentioned here on the show. And she teaches at the American school, so to speak, at the American school in Tegucigalpa, the however you pronounce that, the capital of Honduras. And she happens to be a Honduran, a person of Honduran. She grew up in Honduras. I can't think of the words. Okay, and so it was really cool.
But Honduran.
Yeah, Honduran. Okay,
yeah,
so that's really cool. Let's just take this couple from Honduras, okay?
Yeah.
As an example, when they agree to come over there, do you supply airfare, room, board? How's it all work?
Yeah, yeah. So part of what to plug our school a little bit, but also answer your question,
sure,
how it works is, there's a flight in, and then when somebody decides to retire or move on somewhere else, there's a flight out. So whenever that is, so entry and exit of your contract. Typically 2 to 3 year contracts. Then within that 2 to 3 years, you have housing is paid for within your salary. You have 2 meals a day. We have it's not a 5-star restaurant, but it's not bad. We have an American and an Asian restaurant within our school. And so staff gets breakfast and lunch every single day.
We have
transportation. We just bought a new really nice, it's not quite Kid Rock looking, I guess, bus, but a pretty big tour bus. And so it picks up our teachers and brings them to school so they don't have to pay for transportation. So they get food, housing, all their utilities, transportation, all of that's part of their contract and paid for. And then they get a flight, a round-trip flight. It's supposed to be home, but theoretically they can go anywhere in the world. They get one flight round trip every single year. So when you end the school year, a lot of them leave China and they fly to wherever, come see family and do that, and come back and start the next school year. So it's a pretty good deal, and then they get their salary.
It is
as well.
A pretty good deal. I was just going to ask you that because I know that's on people's minds. Just compared, and I know it's very diverse across the country. How is it? Let me ask it this way, okay? Is the salary a salary on which people can live in Shenzhen?
Yeah, absolutely.
That's the
part,
best way
to put it. Is, yep. That, no, that's perfect. Part of it is Shenzhen is cost of living is my wife and I can go to have a nice meal and be satisfied in the whole thing with an authentic Chinese meal, and we can get out of there for $10 US. With drinks and everything. And so the cost of living is really nothing. So your salary you're living off of, and what a lot of our teachers do is they save up on it. And so, for example, when we have Chinese New Year now, 2 weeks off, I have teachers that are scattering. They're going to Australia. They're going to Thailand. Australia, Sydney is a 7-hour flight from where we are. So we have some going to Australia. We have some go to Thailand. We have some going to we have a teacher has tickets to the Olympics, so he's headed there.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And so they save their money because they really don't have to pay for anything. And so their salary, as far as comparable, it's really cool, too, because I'm able to take their salary and put it where, okay, do you have a master's? How many years teaching? You know, all of those pieces go into it. And so it's comparable to the United States once you put the whole package together. And I would say it actually they make more once you put the flights in there and everything else. They're going to make more doing this and experience the world and get quite an education.
Yeah, if you got nothing and you experienced the wonderful community and people and cultures from other places, I mean, that's worth there's no dollar value on that. It's just incredible. Is the school a boarding school, or do the kids scatter at the end of the day?
They do scatter. It's not a boarding school. We are actually looking at, hopefully within the next couple years, continuing to do a K-12 school, because even though our kids aren't boarders, what they typically do for high school is their goal, generally speaking, but their goal is that they want to head abroad. They want to come to the United States and go to a boarding school here. And so the parents would like that, but as far as our campus, we don't offer that yet. But we're hoping we can do that soon at our campus for high school, if nothing else, because then the next piece is we have lots of connections to colleges here in the States, which then help recruit our kids. And actually, I met a guy at Benedictine College in Kansas, and he is going to China recruiting students to come to boarding school. Yeah, and
my kids grew up in Exeter, New Hampshire, which is the home of Phillips Exeter Academy. Okay,
yeah.
And I was just down there. I'm in Maine now, but I was just down there to see friends on the weekend. And there were just so many kids of Asian descent, over there. I don't know if they're Chinese or whatever, but, you know, you just see a lot of Asian kids there, as well as from everywhere else in the world, okay? But it's really just fun to see, and I know that's a goal of a lot of Chinese families. By the way, before I forget, if people are interested, Darren, how could they get more information or get in touch with you? What's the best way to do that?
Probably if they would go, the easiest email to put out there is edceo@yahoo.com. That's going to be the easiest one, but we have a BCIS, .net, website as well that they can hit.
Yeah. BCIS. What I have here is BCIS.net.cn.
Correct.
Okay,
yep.
And Darren Carney, D-A-R-I-N, is the principal. It's Buena Vista Concordia International School in Shenzhen, China. Okay,
that's right.
Let me ask you the opposite question. Are you teaching American students there? Do a lot of American families want to send their kids to school in China? I know a lot of Chinese folks want to send their kids to school in America when they get into high school, et cetera. Or from what other countries? You have a fairly diverse, from what I understand, you have a fairly diverse community there.
Or we do. We have.
But help me out.
No,
yeah,
absolutely. We've got Australia, Spain, so it covers Europe for us, America, Canada, China. So they're really from all over the world. What I would say as far as our students is this is a fascinating piece that is happening as well, that I mean, I learn something every day because it is such a different world and culture of what we experience here in the United States. And then obviously being in public schools for me for 30 years, it's different. But what's happening is 70% of our students need to be foreign-based students once our international licensing and the government and everybody starts digging into it. But we have a lot of them that are Chinese students. However, for example, I have two families right now. One is in San Diego and one is in Los Angeles. They're visiting families. The mom is giving birth, like within the next couple weeks, and then they will fly back to China and live in China, but their children will be U.S. citizens. And so we get that as part of their international students. They're U.S. citizens, yet they live in China. But then we also get families that, as they come and work for these companies, whether it's IBM or whoever that is, they're American families, or they're from Europe, or they're from England, or from Australia, or from wherever, and they want to send their kids to international schools. Ours is an American international school. We're the only one in Shenzhen that is actually truly an American international school, which means we do the American Common Core, and our standards and our testing is directed to...
Thank you. Yes. You are up to Common Core, et cetera. Yeah.
Yep. And so that makes us the only true all-American school in Shenzhen. And so as people want to bring their kids abroad, like you were mentioning, in a school up in New Hampshire, which we just had a student accepted up there, actually. Funny you mentioned
nice.
That
they'll love it. They'll love it.
Yeah. And anyway, that's the goal. And they want to come to America to go to these schools. And with the ultimate goal is to go to Ivy League schools. Now, whether they all make it or not is one thing, but that is their ultimate goal. And that's where they're headed. We have some Toronto to boarding schools. They like Toronto a lot. Yeah.
Well, this is very cool. Are most of the kids... Now, I know they're from Australia or perhaps America or wherever, but that's nationality.
Right.
Regarding ethnic, okay, their ethnic background, are most of the kids at the school Chinese or of Chinese descent, I should say, or Asian descent, however you want to phrase that, okay? Or do you get kids from, I'll say, Africa who aren't Chinese, America who aren't Chinese, that sort of thing?
Right. Most of our students are Chinese. of Chinese descent. So that is true. And again, that's part of what we're marketing as well, is we're hitting these companies. There's two large company, Tencent, which does emails and technology. It's kind of like a Gmail or a Yahoo or something like that here in the States. And they're mm-hmm. getting people from around the world. So we have parents that work there, and we're recruiting families as they move in saying, hey, here's an option for your school. So right now, most of our students are Chinese, to answer your question. But we're moving towards Huawei as
another one,
which is more diversity, because that's what we need. It's an international school, and we need to represent that. So we're headed that way.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, it's even if 100% are Chinese, it's still an international school, because being
right.
of Chinese descent doesn't mean you're not Chilean or Nigerian or Australian or New Zealand or whatever. Okay,
that's
or
right.
American. You know, you that's why I asked the question the way I did. You can't mix up the nationality with the ethnicity, so to speak. Okay,
right.
And what language is it? English that's spoken there?
Yes,
in your
speak
school.
English all day long. Teachers, it's really neat, because we've got about 20% of our staff. Well, more than that, probably 40% of our staff are Chinese. However, out of that, nearly all of them are bilingual, and so it's fantastic. We've had a handful. Yeah, we've got a handful that aren't. But English is all day long, staff, students, everybody. And then we have 1 hour a day, because we don't – parents that sign up for the school, part of the contract reads that because it's in China, they also don't – they also want to teach the Chinese culture in Mandarin. So even if a student comes in, and for example, I'm thinking of one off the top of my head from South America, they still get to learn Mandarin language at a young age. And so they have an hour a day where we have certified Mandarin Chinese teachers, and they have Chinese class, like you would have a foreign language class here in the States. Everything else is in English. But I think that Mandarin piece is huge, too, because if you can get bilingual in those two languages, you're going to be able to do whatever you want.
Are you kidding me? It's fantastic.
Yeah.
What grades are we talking about?
Yep, we are kindergarten through eighth grade right now.
K through eight, and then the kids will maybe apply to Phillips Exeter or something like that in the States, or some high-class school somewhere in the world.
Do
some of the kids stay in China and go to I'll call it the local high school or a different private school in China?
They do. There are international high schools, that's all they do is high school. There are boarding schools in high school. It's kind of like the States as far as that goes. There's a lot of options. And so I would say most of the students would stay in China and go to one of those schools. However, quite a few of them, right before I left, we had five accepted for next year already. To come to America, two in Toronto, a couple in Boston, New York, one in Pennsylvania. And so it's just a fascinating process to watch, because, again, that's not how
it
I
is.
Grew up. Yeah.
Well, yeah. Neither have I. And actually, it's a funny story. You know, we grew up, my kids grew up right a block away from Phillips Exeter Academy.
Mm-hmm.
My second son felt that it was his God-given right to go to private school. And so because he lived around the corner, okay, and you got to see this place. It's like a high class college campus, and nobody's ever been there. And so he wound up not going there, but because it was right downtown. But he wound up going to a school called Williston, out in Western Massachusetts, where he boarded. And when we dropped him off at school for that first year, ninth grade, I think it was, at Williston, my wife was of course bawling like a baby. As she left her little boy 2 hours from us, and it's interesting. 2 hours driving, I might add, and the parents in China, although they want the best for their kids, and they do, but to go from Shenzhen to Exeter, New Hampshire, is a culture shock, and B, you really say goodbye to your child for a year, basically.
Yes, yes, you do.
For all intents and purposes. Yeah, how do the parents, they have this goal, I know that, and thank God they do, but, how do the parents react when their kids leave?
You know,
have you seen that?
I have seen that, and as far as I can tell, and what I see is it's just kind of the way it is, if you will. It's the culture, it's the norm, it's what we do,
it's
what we want. They get it, and it's kind of, hey, we signed up for this. We know what we're getting into. I think another piece that goes into this, and I can go two ways with this one, is I think technology, because even my wife and I, to stay in touch, and our boys are adults, but still, to talk to them and things, we probably talk to them more when we're in China than we did when we were here in the States.
Right, right.
Because
right.
we can FaceTime with them, you know,
yeah,
and we can Skype with them
fun.
And do those sorts of things, where, you know, whatever, 10, 15, 20 years ago, certainly you couldn't do that. So the connection there, the parents get that. And so I think that that helps. The other thing I was going to say with technology that goes with it is, and I would say this is for the States too, because I remember talking to parents about this, that this generation, they learn totally different than 25
yeah.
years ago, 5 years ago, 10 years, I mean, whatever, because these kids were born with iPhones in their hands. They don't know any different.
Yeah, exactly.
And iPads.
They're used to it.
Yeah, and it's
they're
just their world. And we need to be looking at that. So, again, go back to your question. They're used to it. It's what they do, and they're okay with it.
And
so I haven't seen the crying and bawling.
Well, my son was going yippee, but my wife was crying. I have to make sure I make that
yeah,
point.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
He had no problem with that at all. I want to just bust the stereotype as we wind down here. Okay. If anybody's thinking you saw that movie, The Last Emperor, and everybody's writing in old time fountain pens with scrolls. Okay,
yeah.
And you know, like 14th century China. I don't think that's actually happening at your school at Buena Vista. Okay, in Shenzhen, Darren. I just want you to make the point. I know you're up to snuff on Common Core, but also with technology and all that sort of thing. Just give them the you know the real story, so to speak.
All right. We do not have
that.
Well, we have some.
That, but you know what? That's the picture that pops into everybody. You know. Yeah.
Yep. So. Yep. Well, it's funny because I talked to him when I first got there about perceptions of what people, me, I'll speak for myself, think of China and what, you know, what rolls through our head. And depending on what generation
yeah.
we are or what age we are, we think of different things. And so I was trying to explain that to him. And then I said, okay, think of the United States. And they, you know, they roll through what they think. And so I start the conversation there where we do have fountain pens, by the way, but we don't use them every day. We're not in the movies as far as what that looks like.
I collect fountain pens, so I'm very happy to hear that. So go ahead.
Anyway, we just installed last summer, we have smart TVs in every single classroom. We just put those in last summer. And what that does is within the smart TV, we can get internet, we can stream things, we can do word processing on there, we can do PowerPoints on there, we can do whatever we need. Everything's on those TVs, and they're, I want to say, 40-inch TVs. So they're pretty good size screens within the classroom. The next part that we have is within classrooms, we have projectors that we can connect to computers or any devices where we can project things in the classroom. Then we also have document cameras where we can put a live book and go through that. So within a classroom, theoretically, a teacher can have three or four or five stations going, plus an iPad, plus iPads in every classroom. And so it's not just a technology fest, but they've got the opportunities to have all those things and centers running in a classroom at the same time. So kids have that technology. Again, we're trying to reach the base of this is how kids learn and balance it with also real books and real writing because they need to have those skills as well. And so trying to balance it, but the technology is definitely there. And it's a lot less expensive because it's manufactured mostly right there. So it's less expensive there than it would be here in the States.
Right.
When I open a school, it's a lot more expensive here. So
right.
It's right there, and it's in every single room in the building. We have the TVs, the smart boards, the clickers, the projectors, everything. It's right at their fingertips.
Yeah, and I just want people to understand the whole thing, and you can have a nice dinner with drinks for $10, okay, which I think is really an important factor of this. I really enjoyed this conversation, Darren. The funniest line was, quote, it used to be a fishing village of 200,000
right.
people. Welcome
That's
to
right.
China, right?
That's right.
My wife and I used to deal a lot with China, and one of the gentlemen we worked with who was from Beijing, we asked about, you know, the population and all that, and he said an American who's never been there cannot imagine what the population is like. He said basically you would have Boston, this whole population of Boston, in five buildings down in downtown.
Yeah.
he said you have to go to a whole different scale. you know,
yes,
to really appreciate
true.
It. So a fishing, which is great. That, you know, that's there.
Well,
but it's just a whole different scale of things, I have to say.
It is.
The fishing village of 200,000 people, now 17 million. Shenzhen,
that's right.
China. Yes.
Well, and it's fascinating, and I'll say this to you really fast. I know you got to go. It's really fast. Is somebody said to us, and this is true, it's about the only place in the world you can turn the corner and see a $1 billion building and Maseratis and Lamborghinis and all of that, and then turn the corner and see a 60-year-old man without a shirt on pulling a rickshaw with flattened cardboard as tall as the ceiling going down the middle of 6 lanes of traffic. And it's okay. It's all right there. And it's just a fascinating clash of cultures.
It is. And, again, right across from Hong Kong. So, again, it's bcis.net.cn. And Darren Carney's the principal. And this was a great, fun show, as I knew it would be. Stay in touch with you, Darren, please.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Thank you so much for having me on. I appreciate it.
Oh, believe me. It was just great. And it was my pleasure. So when are you heading back? Just real quick, when are you heading back?
Yeah. We will be heading back. Go to California tomorrow. We're there for about a week or so. And then I think we're going back about the 20th, I think the date is. So another 10 days or so.
And can you fly right into Shenzhen from San Francisco?
We can. There's an airport there. Yep. We can go there, or we can go to Hong Kong. Either way.
But you can't. Can you fly direct from the States to Shenzhen?
Yes. Yep. Absolutely. It's a pretty good size airport.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. Here I am thinking of Hong Kong and Beijing again. What can I tell you? You know.
Yeah.
Okay. Thanks. Well, it's a whole different scale. Darren, thanks
it
a million.
Is.
Safe travels home, my friend, and stay in touch.
Thank you so much. Great to talk to you again.
You're very welcome. You take care. Bye bye.
You too. Bye.
And happy Chinese New Year's. It's vacation time. All right. What a great show. That was great. BCIS, which is Buena Vista Concordia International School. That's Darren's school. BCIS.net.cn. If you want to learn more, and I'm sure he'd be happy to stay in touch with you, etc. What a good guy. And thank you for getting in touch with me, Darren. What a fun show. We're going to archive the show at education-talkradio.org, and we'll tweet it out again over at EduTalk Radio. Please follow us. My name is Larry Jacobs. That was Darren Carney, and this is Pre-K-12 Education Talk Radio. Thanks for listening.